Welcome to Words of Inspiration with Reverend James T. Brown, Jr., the lead pastor of Tabernacle of Worship. Let's join today's message in progress.
Well, family, I'm excited as we continue in our series, Storm Chasers. Storm Chasers. I'd like you to open up your Bible to our text for today, which is in the book of Esther. The book of Esther, chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. Esther, chapter 3, and verse number 1. And here the word of God reads, it says, "After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, Why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spoke daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath, and he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had shown him the people of Mordecai, wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. In the first month, that is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman, from day to day, and from month to month, to the 12th month, that is the month Adar. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, if it is not for the king's profit to suffer them, if it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of this business, of the business, to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. We'll speak today from the subject, could it be your time? Could it be your time? And I know you hear the text and you're thinking, oh my goodness, but stay with me. Stay with me. There's something I believe we're going to learn and see here. Again, looking at the very first verse as we take a look at it, it says, after these things, now we have to pause here. After these things, what things are we talking about? You see, actually, just before this passage, there was a threat made to the king. There was a threat that he was unaware of, that his life was in danger and in jeopardy. And it was actually at the king's gate that Mordecai heard two of the king's chamberlains speaking at odds against the king and wanting to cause the king harm. Well, Mordecai then sent word to Queen Esther to make sure to let the king know so that he could be on guard and alert. And Esther was sure to let him know that it was Mordecai that sent this word to him. So, of course, the king was able to find those chamberlains, and he dealt with them. He dealt with them, put them to death, so he would not have to worry about that threat. But because of that threat, he felt the need to change the structure to provide himself more protection. And that brings us to our text again. Look again at verse number 1. Again, it says, after these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. Here, Haman was promoted. And it's interesting to note that he was an Agagite. He was an Agagite. Some of you say, well, Pastor, what's the big deal? Why is him being an Agagite a big deal? I don't understand the problem. Well, let me share a few things with you. You see, it's actually important because in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 8, King Saul was commanded to get rid of all of the Amalekites, of all of them. But Saul decided to spare King Agag against the will of God. So he decided to spare King Agag, and also other things that he thought were of value, things that he thought would endear him with the people, because it would better improve his position among the other kings because of those things that he was able to take from him. He thought it better to do that, although the will of God was for him to destroy everyone, woman, man, child, beast. Everything was to be destroyed, and we'll see why in just a few moments. The prophet Samuel himself actually had to take the sword, and he killed Agag himself. He did that himself. But it is believed that there were descendants of Agag left alive who became known as the Agagites. They became known as the Agagites. In fact, looking back, we recognize that there was a spirit of disobedience and wickedness that God identified. He identified and had Samuel to deal with. In fact, we find this in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, which says this, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." Let me say that again. "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." This was the word that Samuel gave Saul after all of this foolishness that Saul had done instead of following the instructions of God. I want you to notice something, though. He talked about witchcraft. The witchcraft that the prophet speaks of is the spirit of divination and manipulation. Let me say that again. The spirit of witchcraft is the spirit of divination and manipulation. You see, this is where people do part of the instructions with the intention of doing what they want to do and not what the one giving the instructions intended, under the guise of being obedient. You see, even when Samuel first approached Saul, he said, "What is this you've done?" He said, "I did all that the Lord commanded. I did everything that the Lord told me to do." And then Samuel had to call him on the carpet and say, "You're lying to my face. I know what you've done. I know what you haven't done. God has already revealed it to me." And so here it is. He wanted to simply give the picture or the showing of one being obedient, but not actually obeying. This is what Saul actually had done. This is what he'd done. And here, this is where we see it. This at work in our text. We see the spirit at work in our text. You see, and even though Samuel cleaned up what Saul had left, Saul had left, The die had been cast, and almost 500 years later, let me say that again, almost 500 years later, what is believed to have come from the seed of Agag in Haman was positioned to threaten the people of God. It was positioned to threaten the people of God. Let me say this to you. Our obedience is vital to our well-being. Let me say it again. Our obedience is vital to our well-being. Listen, there are things that God knows that we don't. No one has the mind of God. Do you understand me? There are things that he knows that we don't. Therefore, we have to obey his instructions. We have to obey his instructions. Listen, you may not understand why you have to end a certain friendship or relationship, but I want you to know if God says to do it, then you do it. If God says to do it, then you do it. Listen, you may not understand why you have to move from the home that you love. But if the Father tells you to sell your house and to move, you do it. You do it. Listen, let me explain something to you. You don't know what you are preventing from happening. You have no idea what you're preventing from happening. You have no idea what you may come upon. But God knows, and he's letting you understand that. There's some things that he may be wanting you to avoid. Some things he may be trying to help you not experience, or your children to experience, or your spouse to experience. He's trying to get you out of that situation, and you don't know. Or watch this, or what you are actually being positioned, or he's positioning yourself to, watch this, receive. He may be positioning you to receive something that you would not receive any other way. So if he tells you to sell your house and to move on the other side of town, or if he's telling you to prepare yourself to move across the country, listen, you need to get ready to do it, because there's something that God has for you that you do not see, or something he's trying to remove you from that you do not understand. Listen, if you read my book, you'll learn something in there. There was a position where God was covering us. There were things going on in the house to the right and the house to the left. Things we had no knowledge of, till one of the neighbors, when I was cleaning up the yard, one day said, James, come here for a second. I need to let you know something. We had been there for years. I had no idea that all of these things were going on. God was positioning us. But when it was time to move, then you better believe a brother bust a move. It was time to move, because the grace was not moving. So he said, it's time to go. So we got to going. But you've got to understand. You've got to be able to hear the voice of God. Listen to him and be obedient to his instructions. Be obedient. Just be obedient and follow his instructions. Just be obedient and follow his instructions. But here in our text, Haman has just been put in the position of what we understand to be the prime minister of the nation, where everyone would have to answer to him. Let's look at our next verse. Look at verse number 2 with me. Here in verse number 2 it says, "And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, Why transgressest thou the king's commandment?" Here, Mordecai, being a faithful Jew, refused to bow his knee to anyone but God. He was not going to bow his knee to anyone but God. And when they bowed during that time, their bow wasn't at the waist. No, they got on all fours, knees and hands, face to the ground, paying obeisance to the person, the dignitary, or whomever it was. But Mordecai was not going to do that. And every day they tried to convince him to bow when Haman entered, but he refused. He refused. He finally came to the point where he had to reveal his faith. Let's look at verse number 4. Now it came to pass when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand. For he had told them that he was a Jew. He told them he was a Jew. He let them know that. Now this now exposed Mordecai and all those who were Jews. Let me ask you a question. How do you respond? How do you respond when your actions, albeit the right thing to do, will cause you and others to be put in harm's way?
Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it was a blessing to you. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to join us for our regularly scheduled services at Tabernacle of Worship. You will also be able to get this entire message. Please feel free to visit our website at www.taboworship.org. That's www.taboworship.org for more information.